Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh, Santa's on his way. This week, I threw out a teaser to see if anybody could guess, right? And so I asked everybody if who they could guess, and we threw up the Jesus and the Griswolds, the green screen with the drums. Now, anybody thinks they have the right guess on that one? Anybody? What you got? Clark, that is not true. We already talked about Clark. I can't do 2 weeks on the same person. I gotta do a little bit. Anybody else? What you got? Ellen, that is right. That's right. And it was all based off of. Now, the serious truth is, I had that, and I had two fingers smoking a cigarette, because if you watch the movie, that's all that she does, because she's so nervous about her husband. But my wife said, "Billy, you can't do that." And I was like, you guys don't know. Like the level that you get is tamed down a few notches. I'm just saying. So I really leaned in. We watched the movie and I'm sorry that Bid Angel actually didn't have it. You have to watch it through an app called ClearPlay, and you install it through your Chrome browser, and you can watch it through ClearPlay. We were able to watch Christmas Vacation with our kids and not have to worry about a single moment. And you usually can't do that with that movie. Now, if you grew up like me, you saw all that stuff, and sometimes you knew what they were talking about, and sometimes you didn't. But there's this moment, and we showed it there at the beginning, the countdown finished, and Clark's back out there, he's by himself, Ellen comes out, and she's like, "Are you trying to just avoid all the family, right?" And there was a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to what Ellen said in the movie many a times. But then, as he gets ready to plug it in, she says, "Do you want me to do the drum roll?" And that right there, I mean, that was love to me. Clark, I'm here for you. Whatever you need me to do. You want me to do the drum roll, right? Like today, I got to break out. Ooh, that's a good holding spot. I got to break out my don't hog the nog shirt that my daughter that's over in where's she at? Oh, I don't know. I forget the Barbados, right? And so I got to break. She folded this up. She found it. She loves thrift stores, and she found it at a thrift store. And she put it on my pillow because she knew this was coming up. And I was like, "Oh, I'm so thankful." And so I got to break out the nog here this morning. I also got to say cheers to a lot of people at the bars last night as we drove down the float. That was fun too. And this is nog. It's really good. There's no rum in it. I know you guys think that of me, but there's no rum in there. But it's some good eggnog. Hopefully it tastes that good during the second service too. But as I even thought of the eggnog this morning, I thought of, there's got to be somebody that's mixing up that eggnog, right? Like Clark goes into all these things, into all these situations, and invites all the family over. But many of you spouses know, right, that there's a lot of work that goes into that. There's a lot of background that goes into that. Now, I don't know if you've looked up the timeline, but I did for you, just in case you wanted to know. The Griswolds, from the day they started showing up, Clark's family members, Ellen's family members, Cousin Eddie, right, they started showing up on December 14th. How many of you guys think you could handle 11 days with your in-laws? Yeah, right, like 11 hours is pushing it sometimes, right? Especially when they're Packer fans, right? I'm not saying anything about mine or not, but they're not in the room, so I can. But 11 days straight with your family members, even not your in-laws, your own brothers, their kids, right? Your sister and their kids, the cousin and the one that's like Cousin Eddie, right? 11 straight days with those family members. A Christmas disaster, a family mess, that would probably look like what's going on in your house. And maybe you would be out in the lawn trying to hang up some Christmas lights too. Maybe 25,000 of them. But as we talk today about Ellen, she didn't just survive the chaos. She was one that stayed faithful through it all. Right by Clark's side, no matter what was going on. See, Ellen was patient, she was loving, she was consistent, she was smoking a pack an hour, it seemed. But she was the one holding the family together while Clark and the rest of the chaos just continued to happen. But as you look into the lineage of Jesus, those characters are there as well. Because Ellen reminds me of Ruth, right? A woman who was quiet, who was steadfast, who loved, that love completely changed the trajectory of her family and laughed and actually left a lasting legacy. And I know some of you have thought this. Some of you have even voiced this. Like, why aren't we talking about the characters of Christmas? Well, that's because many of your kids right now have memorized parts. They've been working on parts. And they're going to help us discover the real characters of Christmas here in 2 weeks. And it's going to be full. And you're going to have your camera out and blocking somebody else's view. And there's going to be a Christmas play that they put on. And video and play and all types of stuff. And some of them will be dressed up like Griswolds. It'll be a good time. That's what we do on the 21st, and our kids are going to help us convey that story. But before the Marys and Josephs, right? Before the wise men, before the shepherds. See, I'm wondering if some of this message is for us because we're the one that sets up the next generation to be the ones that are just acting out of obedience because they were the ones that saw their parents obey God. And so they're easily able to step into their calling because we stepped into ours. Because we loved them, because we taught them, because we cared about them, because we raised them up in the admonition of the Lord. We helped them build their foundation at a young age so when God asked them for their trust, they step into it a lot easier than us. See, the stories that we've been talking about are the stories that don't get the limelight. They don't get the stories about, did they really know, right? They don't have all the fanfare. They don't end up on stage. But they're the ones that set up the next generation to be the grandfather of David. The one we talked about last week, the one that we talk about, the man after God's own heart, the one that slayed the giants, the one who led the nation. But without that grandfather, without the father, we don't have David, the man after God's own heart. We don't have the lineage that Jesus comes through. And I believe that's the same for us. We're excited. We put it on our walls. We put it on our cars. We love the 6-7, right? This is 6-7 weekend, I'm just saying. Right? We love the 67, and I guess we were setting trends way before anybody even set that. But we can get excited about reaching the 67, but it's going to take more than just us. It's going to take our kids. It's going to take each and every generation that is in these walls and outside of these walls. It's going to take our kids. It's going to take our grandkids. And it's going to take that work on our part and the obedience that we put in now, that the generations will change because of our decisions right now. See, Ruth's story is a simple yet powerful one. See, her husband dies. We don't know how he dies, why he dies, but he dies. And she's left without security. She's left without status, without a plan. She could have left. She could have turned back. She could have given up, but she didn't. Ruth actually says to Naomi in Ruth 1, 16 and 17, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." See, that's what faithfulness looks like. Faithfulness under pressure. It's not flashy. It's not perfect. It's not dramatic. It's just faithfulness that's loyal, that's steadfast, that's willing to stay even when things get hard. But the payoff, the payoff that we see in Ruth's life, because of that quiet faithfulness that she eludes, she later marries Boaz. She has a child. The child's name is Obed. who becomes the grandfather of King David. See, Ruth's quiet love didn't just bless her, it reshaped history. And what does that mean about our own? See, Ellen, while she's comforting Clark after another Christmas disaster, doesn't yell, even when he opens up the envelope, right? I don't know if you like if you watch it when he's talking about the pool and that he's already put down the check and the deposit on the pool, and if this check doesn't come through, that check is going to bounce. If you slowly watch the movie, her eyes get really big. But she doesn't yell. She doesn't demand perfection. She simply stays. She simply loves. She simply supports. She even offers to do the drum roll thing yet again while he's opening the bonus check, which is just the gift that keeps on giving, Clark. But that faithfulness, I believe that's faithfulness in action, right? That kind that Ruth displayed and the kind that God calls us to. But that's a movie, Pastor Billy, and that's a biblical ancient story. I get it. But faithfulness can look the same today. See, staying loyal when life hurts, loving when it's very inconvenient, and trusting when God doesn't seem like he's making sense. I've got a quick video, and you may recognize this person. They've been able to rejoin us as a church after having almost to be cut off due to a weakened immune system. Someone who exemplifies quiet faithfulness in the most intense season imaginable. Check out this video.
First time I was diagnosed, it broke everything. I broke. Didn't know how to act, didn't know how to talk, didn't want to talk, didn't want to hear anybody's words of advice, encouragement. Even the pastor reached out and I just said, no, I'm good. I don't need any help. But I was broken. I had to go through treatments, 6 months, then 2 years maintenance. Then I heard those words, you are in remission. Then a year later, you have stage 4 cancer again. How do you face it again? And why would you let me go through all of this just to let me go back into the fire again? What was you trying to teach me? What was you trying to say? I didn't want to listen anyways because I felt betrayed. Felt lost. I hated God. Why? Why would you do this? What was the point? Was I here just to suffer? But I got up. I went and did the treatments. My wife, she kept believing. She kept saying, you'll get through this. We'll get through this. God will make a way. I didn't really believe her.
Made it.
I didn't think that I would make it. But that day come, and she said, the doctor said, you are in remission, but you need 2 more years of maintenance treatment. No, I don't think, I couldn't take any more. My body had had enough of medicine, enough of poison, so I decided not. I'm not going to do it. And a year later, my cancer came back again. Stage 4. Even after the doctor said, it's too soon. You're too young. You can't get cancer again. Not yet. But I had stage 4 cancer again. Shattered. That my world was shattered. Like again? 3 times? How am I supposed to do this? Like, who survives cancer twice? Much less 3 times. And now there was a new treatment called CAR-T. I had to go to Indianapolis to the IU hospital for 2 weeks over Christmas. Who wants to go to be in the hospital for 2 weeks over Christmas? Like, can't be around nobody, have to be in a hospital room around a bunch of people you don't know. I didn't want to go. I tried everything, any excuse that I could make, but my wife wasn't having it. She's like, you are going, and God's going to do his thing. After about 6 or 7 days after the treatment, I started feeling better, started feeling stronger. I got up and walked around a little bit. I was ready to go. So I started dropping hints to the doctor, I want to go home. And he let me go home. And 3 or 4 months later, I heard those amazing words. You are in remission. Now here we are, almost at a year, and I'm still feeling good, still feeling in remission. That makes sense, but I'm still in remission. No matter what happens, keep your faith, because God is faithful, even when you are not. No matter how far you push him away, his arms are longer than yours, and he will continue to hold you until you accept.
Oh, I can do a doctor, too.
Faithfulness is hard. Tom wavered, definitely. You hear his anger at God. But then his wife, by his side, taking every one of those videos, taking every one of those pictures. See, it doesn't always feel like victory in the moment. But staying loyal in sickness, in struggle, in the midst of the mess, in the chaotic moments. See, God sees even when Tracy endured through all of this, her loyalty. And I'm thankful that Tom and Tracy's story isn't over. In fact, last week, they jumped in to Innovation Kids for their very first week to help teach and to train up the next generation, because the faith that they've walked out, they know that the next generation is going to need that. It's exactly what Ruth did and what God calls us, I believe, to do today. In Ruth chapter 4, 13 and 17, it says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman in the neighborhood said to Naomi, 'Praise the Lord who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. He will renew your life and care for you in your old age. Your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth.' Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman lived there said, 'Naomi has a son.' So David named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David." See, notice what God did here. He honored loyalty and steadfast love over perfection or flashiness. Ruth's quiet faithfulness changed history. But what does this look like for us? What does this mean for us? Where can we be faithful today? Right? Even when things get hard, where will we be faithful? Where can we stay? Where can we love? Where can we serve? Even if the applause and the recognition may not be there. who needs to see your quiet faithfulness? Is it someone, is it somebody at home? Is it somebody at work? Is it somebody over this holiday season, this Christmas season, that's going to be across the table that needs to hear of your faithfulness or see your faithfulness in your school, in your community? Maybe it's comforting somebody in their pain. You know, this time of year is, some would sing about it and say it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? But others may also say that it's the hardest time of the year. And you may know that person, and you may need to bring comfort to that person, or at least help them get to comfort. I'm excited that this December 21st, what's known as one of the darkest days of the year, that's the time where the darkness is the longest. On December 21st, we're going to have at 6 p.m., we've got the kids play in the morning, two of those, but at 6 p.m., we're going to have a blue Christmas service, right? I don't know if I can sing as good as Elvis, but I may try. But we're going to be partnering with River of Hope and our Pain to Purpose group and discuss grief. Many times, rears its ugly head during the holiday season. When we can imagine the person that was always there and no longer is. How to handle grief this holiday season and now not to be stuck when God's calling us to move. So this December 21st, we got a blue Christmas, and you'll get one of these. Hopefully it'll look better than this because you won't sit on it 32 times in the morning. But you'll get one of these on your way out. It'll talk about the blue Christmas. And on the backside of it, you'll also get something called Christmas Adam around here. If you've been around here, you know that Adam came before Eve. And maybe you've read that first page of the Bible, or maybe a few pages in, right? And we love to celebrate Christmas Adam around here and have a good time. It's kind of the opposite of a Christmas Eve service with the candlelight, because I don't trust any of you with candles or fire. And quite opposite of the blue Christmas. But either one of these, you're going to find out a little bit more about them as you leave today. But what does your faithfulness look like as you're being patient with a family member? What does it look like as showing up to serve on a serve team faithfully? As really, it can many times feel like one more thing this holiday season, but the continual investment into somebody else's life can make the difference for years. It's one of the things that for decades in my life kept me from drifting into sin, because I was responsible for a group of people, and where was I leading them to? And if I wasn't willing to go there first, how would they go there with me? And then investing in the next generation, even when it's inconvenient. If we look at Ruth's story, if we look at Ellen's story, right? Faithfulness changes everything. It did it for both Ellen and for Ruth, and I believe it does it for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this clear-cut message, this clear-cut character in the movie, but also in Scripture and even in ourselves. Maybe you're here today and this message hits home, and maybe this season that you're in, or the one that you're entering in, or maybe even getting ready to exit, maybe this is the exact season that you've been walking to. I want to pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person that can relate with Ellen. Maybe with Ruth, or even with Tom and Tracy. God, would you remind them of the fact that you bless their steadfast love? That you see their quiet faithfulness? You see the moments that nobody claps for them? The sacrifices that no one knows about? The loyalty that has been costly and consistent. God, would you strengthen their heart that's been loving through difficulty? Every person who stayed when walking away would have been much easier. Every soul that's been faithful, even when life felt heavy. God, I ask that you would honor their faithfulness, that you would breathe fresh courage into them. Let them know that their love matters, that their loyalty matters, and that their story is far from being over. God, I pray that they would realize today that what they do right now can impact generations, that their family, that their children, that their community, that the people that they never meet would be changed by their simple faithfulness. God, I ask that you fill them with your peace, that you cover them with your favor, and that you strengthen them for the journey ahead. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows.